This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Dude, check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Good.
Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and welcome to the Patriots Draft Prospect Review Podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's Wednesday, April 16th, right here at Gillette Stadium. We have a full house, finally, with Paul Perillo, Eric Scalvino, Tom Casale, and Andy Hart. We're discussing linebackers today, guys. What's going on?
Thank you, Lori. And yes, we are getting closer to the draft, and we're getting down to the meat and potatoes of what the Patriots need and where they might be going on draft day. As Lori said, we're talking about the linebackers today. I think everybody knows, and we'll start with the top of the draft, two of the top six prospects potentially would be considered 3-4 outside linebackers when you talk about Chris Long and Vernon Golston. So, guys, talk about those two, because there is the potential when you're picking at seven, depending on how this all shakes out with the Dolphins negotiating with Jake Long and Vernon Golston, however it all plays out, that you could get an elite prospect to slide down the board, depending on how it shakes up. Talk about those two guys and what you think the what your reaction would be if they landed one of those guys.
Well, Golston's probably the favorite to come here, obviously.
Certainly from Andy Hart.
Yeah, and I think he's the better pass rusher out of the two. So that I would lean towards him because I think he has better upside and better pass rushing skills. Where, if you said before, Andy Long will probably be dependable, but we don't really think he's going to be a superstar. So When you're picking at seven, I think Golston offers you more upside.
Yeah, I think Long may have topped out, but even if he's topped out, I think he'll be a decent pro playing outside linebacker. Golston has all the measurables. He looks great in the uniform when you talk about biceps and muscles and all these things that you look for that really jump out at you. But I think there's a chance he's a bust. I'm going to be honest with you. I love him as much as anyone. But I think there's a chance that in a couple of years you go, wow, look like Tarzan, play like Jane.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a fear factor, I think, with him.
Andy Hart going out on the limb, either 10-time Pro Bowler or bust.
Well, I'm saying he's a 10-time Pro Bowler, but I had Chad Jackson in the same boat.
And I think it is conceivable that Golston could fall to that seven spot. Very unlikely, but I think it is conceivable.
He's an interesting guy because before the combine, he was not a top 10 pick. And now, based on published reports, if the Dolphins don't sign Jake Long, the next guy they're talking to is Vernon Golston.
And I think Bill said it today best at his press conference when he said there's no consensus at the top of that draft. So you don't really know who's going to fall because usually you can kind of slot those first two, three guys and go from there. But this year, like you said, Andy, it's just all up in the air.
And let's not go overboard with Golston either. I've heard the words Lawrence and Taylor used in the same sentence as Vernon and Golston. That's just ridiculous.
And there's a word disappear because he did that in college quite a bit, and guys like Taylor and Bruce Smith didn't. So,
so
that's the difference.
That's ridiculous. That's going a little too far.
And the comparisons, not necessarily comparisons, but when you're talking Long and Golston, they're two very, very different kinds of players. And I agree with Andy. You made a comment about Long being a safe kind of guy. I think that you kind of know what you're going to get. You're going to get a guy that probably can step into a 3-4 and play, and he's not. I don't think has the potential to bust out. You know, I don't think he's going to be one of those guys 5 years from now that people are going to say, how did that guy get taken in the top five? But I don't think also the upside is all that enormous either. I think he's a very safe guy. You kind of know what you're going to get. Whereas Golston, you know, as you and Tom said, can kind of run the gamut. They could be he could be a high impact player, and he also could be a guy that we saw in the national championship game this past year, really not do a thing against LSU. So you got to wonder. I like Golston. I like that edge pass rusher. I think those are high-impact guys, and if you want to get them, you have to get them at the top of the draft.
I want to stick with the defensive end outside linebackers here for a minute, move our way down the list a little bit. I've been watching some of the film the last few days. A guy I was intrigued by was a USC guy, Jackson.
Yeah,
and I think
I like
he
him.
Is a guy who could play. He's rated. Let me go to my NFL draft scout real quick, and I can't find him, so I don't know where he's rated, but he's rated down the list a little bit.
Yeah, but if the Patriots were picking where they normally pick, I think he would be the buzz guy, to be honest with you, because I think he would fit perfectly here. I think he's a great player, but you're talking end of the first round.
Right.
So the reason we haven't been talking about him a lot is because the chances are that's not where the Patriots are going to be selecting this year.
And Bill was overboard talking about that today, that there's such a gap between where they pick at seven and where they pick late in the second round, 58, I think it is, somewhere down there, that there's a whole group of players in there depth-wise, late first, early second, that they may not be really in the game for. And he talked about You can only trade down so far from seven, and you can only trade up so far from where they are, you know, at the end
of the second round. Like we talked about Antoine Kaysen, the cornerback. He's going to be a tough get for the Patriots because he's going to fall in that area. So's Jackson. So's Quentin Groves, another guy I'm sure you're going to bring up, who's in that area where the Patriots might not be there to get him, even if they like him.
And that's got
to
kill Bill a little bit because, Kill Bill. It's a good movie. That's right where it seems like that value is in this draft in terms of depth. That
last year you
round.
Wanted to be up here to take Laron Landry.
Right. Laron Landry, Patrick Willis were up near our top 10 picks. This year you wouldn't mind being 30 to 40 somewhere in there. But, yeah, Groves, another guy we've talked about a little bit in the past, had the toe injuries that cut down on his sack numbers. But if you watch the games, the guy's just explosive.
A great pass rusher.
Great pass rusher, and I think underrated against the run,
so
playing
athletic.
It off the edge.
Tons of tackles in the backfield.
It's like the handoff to the running back. And then Groves is there to make the play, you know, a yard forward. So I think he's an intriguing guy.
And I have to be honest, the Auburn has given Florida the most trouble of any team defensively, and I think he's a big reason why. Him coming off the edge, as Paul said, not just on passing plays, but the running plays too, getting in the backfield. So he's an explosive all-around player. Again, a guy I'd love to see here, but he's probably going to go in that late first-round area.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a tough one for them to probably get unless they really make some moves.
Yeah, and you know, like Bill talked and you mentioned, it's hard to get that high. I'm not talking about from seven, because you're not going to go that far down from seven, but to get to the end of the first round from the end of the second round is impossible. It's just that no man's land pick with, I think there's 55 picks between the Patriots first and second rounder. I mean, that's just too big of a gap to close.
Right.
And it's unfortunate because there's a lot of guys. I agree with you guys wholeheartedly about Quentin Groves, but I loved him.
I got to trumpet my guy that I've been promoting since I did his Diamond in the Rough for Patriots Football Weekly, Andy Studebaker, tiny Wheaton College. According to NFL Draft Scout, has now moved into the seventh round as an outside linebacker. Guy dominated at his level, had a couple injury issues, but very productive. I like him.
Well,
so
if his draft stock is rising, and
if history is any indicator, the guys we've been talking about, they won't take,
and
the guy they will take is Studebaker.
Right. Now we'll move on to some of the more prototypical college outside linebackers. The top of that list, Keith Rivers, and I think we all project, if he's the pick, because the name has been thrown around a lot at seven, he projects as an inside linebacker here. So talk about him, Tom.
Yeah, he's one of those athletic guys from USC, can run, can chase down ball carriers, does everything pretty well. But we've been talking, Andy, that one of the things that worries me is if his two teammates, Maualuga and Cushing, came out, he might have been the third guy drafted from his school.
Right.
And it's not that I like Rivers. I think he's a good player. But at seven, are you getting good value at that with that pick? And I don't think you are. So that's another one of those things that's kind of tough because you don't want to take him at seven. Now, maybe if they trade down to 12 or 13 and he's there, then that would be a good pick, I think.
And I do want to point out, we've received some emails about his size. I guess there's different internet listings for him. He is big. He's 240-something pounds, 6'2", maybe an inch short or so than you'd really prefer. But he has the size to play in a 3-4. It's not necessarily his game in terms of Ted Johnson, I'll take on a guard and be stout. I think he's more speed-based.
There's two guys.
But he's big enough.
I think there's two guys in professional football left that play like Ted Johnson.
Right.
It's over. Those guys are a dinosaur.
And we've talked about that a little bit with Bill sort of transitioning over the years. Some of the guys they've shown interest in, the Beasons, the Vilmas, guys that are speed-based linebackers, Miami-type guys running around making plays.
What's Willis? Wasn't he 238, 240 last year?
He was right in that 240 range, yeah. No question.
Yeah, he's big enough to play inside. I agree with you, Andy, about him translating to the inside because I don't think he's tall enough to play on the outside.
No.
He's only 6'2".
And he doesn't have those – and let's be honest, their outside guys here go 260 to 280.
Yeah, now he could play outside in a 4-3. He's,
yes.
Weak side, I think
And he might be better suited for that.
Yeah, and I think that's what – you look at his athleticism, I think he could excel in that. But I'm not sure – the way the Patriots like to use their outside guys, I'm not sure if he has the all-around skill set to do that. But I think he would for the inside for sure. Right? He's a very talented player.
Some of the other names out there, Adibi, who we were just talking about, Virginia Tech. I know one guy, Mel Kiper, thinks is pretty overrated, doesn't like his instincts.
Yeah, I don't like him at all.
I certainly don't
who?
Think he's a DB
Xavier
from Virginia Adibi. Tech.
Oh, okay.
I certainly don't think he's a Patriot. He's another speed-based guy, runs around. I just don't see him.
I like the other Tech linebacker,
here.
Vince Hall, better than him.
Yep. Aaron Henderson out of Maryland. I know he's a guy you like,
Tom.
I like him. I think he's okay. I'm a little lukewarm on him.
I don't know about for here. I just like him.
Right. Crable out of Michigan, another outside linebacker.
I think he's garbage.
A guy I actually liked.
I like Crable more than Tom.
A guy I really liked the Florida State was Geno Hayes. I think he can play.
He's a football player, but I don't know where. Yeah,
he's listed at 220. Yeah, and
he
I know that says you know that jumps out with the whole Tatupu thing. Oh, he's too small. Like, I watched the guy say, "I'd like to give him a shot." I'm sick of not giving any of these linebackers shots because they don't fit.
I couldn't stop thinking about the word tenacious kept coming. Every play that they showed on his tape, he just seemed to get after the ball carrier. And I don't know if he fits. He might be a 4-3 weak side guy, like I mentioned with Rivers, but. I agree with you, Andy. Just a guy that made play after play.
The one guy at outside linebacker I kind of like that I think could make the switch is Curtis Gatewood out of Vanderbilt. I think he could play some outside 3-4. He's projected as more of a later round pick.
Yep.
One of those
project type
of guys.
Just ahead of Studebaker at this point.
Very, yep. Very athletic, Tom,
yeah.
I thought.
So maybe in the late rounds, that's a guy they take and try to turn into like a Pierre Woods and see if he can produce in a couple of years and play in the Super Bowl.
And then finally we'll move on a little bit to inside linebacker here where, you know, it's always interesting. We talk about this when the Patriots are looking for linebackers, the outside linebackers or inside linebackers, defensive ends in college or outside linebackers. So some of these guys that might seem like college inside linebackers, you wonder, can they play inside linebacker here? But the top of the list in terms of prospect, yet again, Penn State's Dan Connor. And we, interesting, have some differing opinions on Dan Connor here. I know Tom, not a big fan. And Fred Kirsch is a big fan. Apparently, our lads likes Dan Connor.
Yeah.
But I liked. I watched the tape.
Somewhere in between is probably where it
And
yeah,
I think he's
going to
be a decent player. We've talked about it.
I think
we all think he's better than Poslesny.
Yep. Yeah, so, not worth seven.
He's not flashy.
No.
He's solid. I think he's going to be a solid NFL player.
I just draft him in the first round.
If I had the 29th pick and I needed a linebacker, I'd probably draft him. But if I have seven.
Yeah. If I had the 29th pick and Gerard Mayo was on the board and someone takes Dan Connor, I think that's a bad pick.
Well, he's next on the list.
I like Gerard Mayo better.
Gerard Mayo's next on the list. And actually, according to NFL Draft Scout, our source here, Connor with a down arrow next to his name and Mayo with an up arrow. And keep going back to Kuiper here in Patriots Football Weekly, talked a lot about Mayo, he thinks, and Keith Rivers are a lot closer than, say, the 7th pick in the draft and the 28th pick in the draft. He thinks that gap there is closer than that. 6'1", 242 for Mayo. Sort of a Teddy Bruschi build inside. Thought he played
fast.
With some anger. Thought he played with some speed. Yeah. I liked what I saw from him.
All over the field when Tennessee played. I mean, that's a guy, you know, I told you, Andy, it reminds me of Al Wilson. When he played at Tennessee, all you hear was Wilson, Wilson, Wilson. Same thing with Mayo. And I got to think the Indianapolis Colts would be a perfect spot for him if he's on the board because they need some help at linebacker, and I think he could step right in and contribute for them.
Some of the other names there, you know, second, third-round picks. We got Curtis Lofton out of Oklahoma. Jonathan Goff out of Vanderbilt, I think, is another guy. We all kind of liked what we saw on tape. He's actually a local guy, right, Paul? He's from St. John's Prep.
St. John's Prep in Danvers, yeah.
By all accounts, you know, a good all-around guy, made a lot of plays for them. The question being, is he quote-unquote, and this is one of those things, a three-down linebacker? Is he only a
and
first
I think
and
that's
down?
The reason why he won't go that high in the draft.
Right.
And that's also a reason why I think the Patriots could draft him.
Right, because Bill
says, I think
says
he could start to slip.
Well, I think Bill looks at it and says, I don't care if he's a three-down linebacker.
Right.
If he's good on first and second, then I'll play somebody else on third.
And if you look at the Patriots' defense, there aren't a lot of guys that play three downs.
Right.
I'm not talking linebackers. I mean, Vince Wilfork is a pretty valuable player. He was a 21st pick overall in the draft, right? Doesn't usually play all three downs.
With the linebackers, you know, going back to Ted Johnson, there were weeks where Ted Johnson was a three-down player, a no-down player, a one-down player. I mean, it depends on game plan. What the, you know, they play in the Steelers with Jerome Bettis, or are they playing a more, you know, the Colts with a passing attack. So, you know, I think if Bill sees a guy and says, "Yeah, he's a two-down player, two good downs."
Yeah, the watching tape, Andy, the guy that stood out to me most, who looked like he could play in this system, was Bo Bell from UNLV. Very athletic,
big down arrow, according to NFL Draft Scout.
I like Bo Bell.
I think it's because of his injuries.
This is a middle.
Fourth, fifth round.
Guy.
Yeah, they have him as mid-round. A fourth round guy with a down arrow. So he's knocking on the fifth.
Yeah,
but he's been injured too. So I think that might be one of the reasons he hasn't been able to work out for a lot of teams yet. But yeah, I mean he's got athleticism, And that's, you know, we talk about that inside linebacker position, and we talked about Ted Johnson. I got to be honest with you, I don't really want to see those guys. I don't want to see the guys that can't move around. The Patriots got plenty of those linebackers that get burnt on those underneath crossing routes. I want to see some guys with athletic ability, some athleticism, and Bo Bell's one of those guys. He's big, he can run. So to me, that would be a great pick in the mid rounds of the draft.
He's a ferocious hitter, too, which I didn't see a lot of that from a lot of the linebackers.
That's one of the things I wrote
down.
Because
when you're chasing, it's hard to be a ferocious hitter. You're just trying to grab the guy as he goes by. And we've seen some chasing around here in recent years from the linebackers as they've gotten a little older, a little slower. Two names I want to hit on a little later round, guys. One of them, we get a lot of emails on. He was a big-name type college player, would be Lehman out of Illinois.
Jay Lehman.
Injured. At this point, not even expected to be drafted, but people look at him as a productive guy. He was very adamant at the combine saying, you know, just give me a chance. I know I'm hurt, but I think I can be productive. I think I can be productive at the next level.
College player.
I kind
the
of
defensive
agree.
Defensive version of Mike Hart.
But yeah. You know what? As an undrafted free agent, sure, come try out.
Yeah, I was going to say,
if you're any good, I'll sign you.
He's not going to get drafted by all accounts, based on what I'm reading. He's not going to get drafted. He'll go to someone's camp, and he'll make it awfully difficult for somebody to cut him because he'll do all the things that you're supposed to do to get yourself ready in the summer. He'll annoy the veterans by how hard he plays and all that stuff.
Rudy.
I think he's a good college player, as Tom said.
And another guy I think we all liked on tape is, why am I drawing a blank? McLean out of Syracuse.
McLean, yeah.
Very much big dude, over 250.
Played defensive end, inside linebacker, outside.
He's another guy
linebacker.
That NFL draft scout doesn't even have
right.
to be
not
drafted.
A drafted guy, but to me smells like a Belichick guy. As Tom says, the versatility, big dude, plays hard.
The other thing that's weird about him is I believe he ran pretty well at the combine.
Yes.
Everybody was surprised by how fast he ran. He's versatile. He can take on blockers. He can get to the quarterback. It kind of reminds me of Oliver Hoyt. What are we missing?
Right. And Oliver Hoyt made a team, so maybe Jamal McLean is destined as a fullback.
There's your next average fullback.
One other guy down there, sixth, seventh round guy, the kid out of South Florida, right? Like I kind of like this, Ben Moffitt.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, just another name to keep in mind late in the draft. That's generally when the Patriots decide they're going to draft linebackers is, you know, after all the good ones are gone.
and the guy from Iowa, we thought.
Humple?
Mike Humple? Had some ability. He wasn't the fastest guy in the world, but he always seemed to be putting himself in the right position
to make
a play. I
agree. He's not the fastest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Patriots need a linebacker. We just spouted off, I don't know, 25 names. You think there's any chance we hit the name? Any chance at all? Or are we going to hear with the seventh round pick?
If they take one, we had to have hit the name.
I think
a lot of guys.
Yeah, I think we did. I think they're
going to
take, but I think they're going to take one or two this year. I mean, they almost have to with the age of their linebackers. It's really a need position.
All right, then we'll wrap this up by saying you heard it here first. The guy the Patriots are going to draft to rekindle the youth at linebacker. You just heard the name. Now you just have to pick which one it is. Back to Lauren.
Well, thank you guys. And do you have something else you wanted to add?
Yes. Breaking news in front of me, courtesy of producer Gary Gudecki. Bill Belichick met with the media today, video and audio of that press conference. Very entertaining, some very good questions from a guy in an orange shirt in the front row. Bill Belichick talked about the draft, the prospects, trades, trade values, all that.
What an ego.
If you want
maniac.
That video, it's on Patriots.com. And Tom Casale closed it with the funniest thing he's ever said, so pay attention to the very, very end.
I'm just going to say,
second funniest thing he's ever said.
All right. Well, join us again next week for our final Draft Prospect Review podcast, as the draft is April 26th. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com. On the end of my line, sky of blackness and sorrow, dream of life, sky of love, sky of tears. Oh, I can't wait.